Ooh. Hey there, Internet. My name is Jack Packard. And I'm waiting for it. That green light, I want it here for The Escapist.
And I'm Nick Langer, the editor-in-chief of The Escapist, who brought Jack back to life because he was gone last week.
That's right. Nick swapped me out for another handsome bald man.
That's true.
Paris has got it on me. That's fair.
At least Paris agrees with me on the games that I like, so I like him better now.
That's fair. That's fair. I am, you know, I am a pale comparison, quite literally. this week on The Escapist Show, I'm taking us back to 2012 while Nick is talking about some new games he's been playing. Then over in the topics, we are going to discuss Sony and their new quite risk-averse strategy, which might be fiscally smart and artistically dull. So hello and welcome. This is The Escapist Show.
Where's Paris? Bring him back.
So Nick, I'm going to start off with a real quick one. I don't have any gameplay footage of it. You'll find out in a minute. But part of my reaching back to... I played the game of life, baby. Taxes. Part of my reaching back to 2012 is, as we were talking about the PlayStation Vita, I got my Vita out of storage and I was looking for games to play on my Vita because, I had it in my hands again, I wanted to play it again. And I said, you know what I really wanted to replay is XCOM, the 2012 Enemy Unknown. What a fantastic game. Oh, it's on the Vita. I'll get it on the Vita, play it on the Vita. It runs like dog shit on the Vita, by the way. Do not get it for the Vita. I have never seen such a low frame rate. It was awful. So I actually got it on my iPhone and it runs super smooth. I've been just playing a lot of XCOM Enemy Unknown on my iPhone. Like that's my like right before bed game now. Run a little mission, set up my research, and it's been really fun.
Did any of the games run very well on Vita?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Most of them did. Like, obviously, XCOM. That's a big 3D game. A lot of physics. A lot of particles. Absolute dog shit. Yeah. It was really, really terrible. Which, by the way, Vita store is closing. It'll never get a patch. Boo.
If it came out in 2012, I don't think it was ever going to get a patch.
Now, really, never.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what's a game that you've been playing last week?
With Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart coming up in June, I decided it was finally time that I go back and play the Ratchet & Clank PS4 remake, spurred on by the fact that they added a 60 frames per second patch to it. So now it runs. Ooh. It runs fantastic. It looks fantastic. I had a lot of fun playing it. I played through all the first three games growing up. I think I played Tools of Destruction, and I don't think I've played Into the Nexus, which apparently is the prequel to Rift Apart. That's where the storylines are continuing. So kind of weirdly, like, this Ratchet & Clank kind of has nothing to do with the next one that's coming out. It's like, oh, shit, I have to go back and play all these games to understand what's going on now, damn it.
Darn. I have to play games I like. Oh.
But, I enjoyed it. It's pretty short. I think I finished it like 8 hours. Visually, it's of course, looks great. Play is great. The story, I can't really compare it to the original Ratchet & Clank because I don't remember because I played it so long ago. But the story in this one is like kind of weirdly paced because it was a tie-in to the movie that came out, which I actually never saw and I'm gonna go watch it eventually.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. Well, it all just kind of felt a little bit disjointed and like by the end of the game, I'm like, I don't really know what the hell I was doing for the whole other part of the game besides trying to become space ranger or whatever it is.
That's pretty much the plot. Exactly. Yeah. How you feel after you watch the movie too. Yeah. Nothing really connects to each other. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. Fun time. Fun to sit down and play that. Got some good nostalgia out of it. And I'm really excited for Rift Apart.
Oh, well, great. The other game that I've been playing, also reaching back to 2012, is The Binding of Isaac: Repentance. As we discussed in my very professional interview with Edmund McMillan, a ton of new content, new items, new bosses, new rooms, new areas. And so I decided to start a brand new save in The Binding of Isaac, which is basically starting from scratch. And playing it all the time, and I love it. It's still one of my favorite games of all time. The personality, it's something that Yahtzee and I talked a little bit about during a Slightly Something Else podcast, where it's very simple. It's a twin stick shooter, it's a roguelike, but it's that personality of the story that Edmund is telling through Isaac that really makes me want to keep playing over and over, even when it's very frustrating. And also it's just a great excuse to use my awesome GameCube USB controller, because the GameCube controller works so great for Isaac because it has all these notches for the different places that his tears can shoot on the C-stick. Mm. Fantastic controller for Isaac. Hmm. And I've just been pumping a ton of hours into Isaac. It's kind of new. It's a new DLC, but also I know it's not a new game, but it's Isaac. I just fucking love it.
Did they add a lot of new D's into it?
A lot of new what?
D's nuts. I got you.
You have to wait until I say, what's D's? Then no, you say D's.
You said what?
You say... As a reminder to everyone, Nick was part of a fraternity.
And Marty started this in the street.
So he finds these kinds of jokes really funny. I would never sink to that lowbrow humor. Never, ever.
Omar, play the clip from the stream, please. And yes, loop
that's,
it.
That's the setup.
Yeah, I know.
That's the setup.
I know it is.
Yeah. Yeah. although you have to get the person. This is my personal professional comedian opinion is that you have to get the person to say D's. So for me, growing up, obviously we grew up with a lot of CDs.
He's just mad that
compact
I got him.
Discs. And so, it'd be like, oh, hand me that CD over there. And you say, what CD? And you go, CD's nuts. Because it's, so to me, no, I'm saying, your joke is fine. Perfectly adequate. Like, it just doesn't, you don't get the points unless you get them to say D. And then you can say D's nuts. That's just me. That's just my opinion.
You know whose points matter to me?
Who's that?
Mine.
That's fair. I think it's important to have a high self-worth.
Well, I have to at least give myself a lot of points, because then I can take them away with my own self-depreciating humor. So I start at 100 during the day.
Sure.
I make a good joke, I go positive.
Yeah.
And then throughout the day, I continue to go back and look at the mirror and keep removing points.
Sure, sure.
And by the end of the day, I go to bed unhappy and sad.
Nice. So what else have you been playing, Nick?
Well, I've been playing It Takes Two with Yahtzee, because he didn't know what he wanted to review, and so I suggested It Takes Two, and we streamed it yesterday on the new Escapist Live channel. Go subscribe. Like and subscribe. God, please kill me. So anyways, if you don't know what It Takes Two is, it's the new game from Joseph Fares, who also made A Way Out. He was the director of A Brother of Tale, Two Sons. So he's been working at his new studio called Hazelight. And basically all they do now is make these really unique co-op games that are funded by EA Originals program. So It Takes Two kind of is a story about these parents getting divorced, and their kid kind of has voodoo dolls of them, and they become those dolls. And then they just go through all these different scenarios throughout the game, and it's really, really fun. I don't think I've laughed that much at a game in a long, long time. I think even Yahtzee's slightly enjoying it, because he wanted to play it again. So we're actually kicking you off the stream on Thursday to play it more. The writing
first, Paris. Now you're replacing me with Yahtzee. Oh, I'm just another cog in your machine, man.
Gotta polish the head sometimes.
Right? I shaved just for this. I shaved just for this, Nick. Just for you.
Well, now I have a reason to kick you off the stream. You don't like my joke. You don't like Halo. What else don't you like? Pretty much everything.
I don't like many, many things. That's true.
So
that's true.
But yeah, I mean,
it's almost as if I'm critical.
Yeah. Anyways, back to It's Take Two. Sorry, Omar. That's why you can blame that all on Jack. The writing in It's Take Two is like, yeah, I don't think Yahtzee likes the writing of It Takes Two very much. I like it because it's like, it's so cringy that it's dumb funny to me. And I'm just, I guess, according to Jack in this episode, my humor level isn't very sophisticated. So that worked for me.
I'd say average. It's average. Mm-hmm. You know.
So anyways, I like It Takes Two. You should go play it. Yahtzee and I are going to work on finishing it on Thursday. Fuck off if you don't like happy things.
Love happy things. I love happy things. It's okay, Nick. It's okay to have a like a mediocre sense of humor. Then you're one of the masses, and I think that's great.
Well, right. According to Marvel's Escape, I'm just another mediocre white guy.
Aren't we all? It's very true. C+ at best, right here. Yeah. All right, now we need to take a quick break while I check with human resources to see if my boss threatening to show me his genitals is illegal.
Huh? Where'd this go from?
Because you said it before.
Oh, it's just these
you
want
to? Yeah.
I am mediocre in humor.
You got him. All right. On to the news. I am mediocre. It's a callback, Nick. It's a callback. So here we are in the news topic. Sony, big winner out of the last console generation as far as first party titles, console sales, game sales. I mean, you know, the Switch is there. The Switch almost doesn't even get talked about in the same circles as the PS4 or the Xbox for some reason, even though that's the current gen console. But like PS4 did gangbusters. Now we have the PS5. Well, now a very small percentage of the population has a PS5 because they're never anywhere to be found. And Sony is being very risk adverse. Averse? Adverse. Adverse. That's the correct word. Nick, give me your thesis statement here.
So I'll actually start off by pointing people towards Marty's The Takeaway article, because we had a little bit of a debate before he wrote that article, and then he kind of brought me to his side of the table. So obviously, with Sony, like Sony's new like staple is very high quality, very high quality, super polished, like cinematic story adventure games. You got Horizon, you got Days Gone, you got Uncharted, you got The Last of Us, Ratchet and Clank now is pretty much going in that direction.
Dad of Boy would be
Ghost
would
of Tsushima. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That is what their staple is now. And those games sell a lot of copies, like 5-10 million, if not more. And so we kind of talked about in the last episode that you were on before I replaced you, with Sony's disinterest in like preserving their history. And so like part of that was we were talking about how we don't really get games like Twisted Metal or Starhawk or Warhawk or Mag or SOCOM anymore. You know, pretty much anything that was multiplayer related, they've kind of thrown out the window. It sounds like they're going to kind of get back into that because like The Last of Us, they're still working on The Last of Us multiplayer, whatever they're doing. And I think that'll be your games as a service thing. Ghost of Tsushima has multiplayer, which was also kind of games as a service-y type thing. So I think those are, you know, like basically what Sony's at right now is like they have all these cinematic games, but they don't have like long shelf lives for revenue. It's not like it's not like GTA Online where it's just pumping in millions and millions of dollars every week. So they're going to need that. But as far as like their risk aversions going, like, these games are literally, you know, if you want to call it quadruple A titles at this point, that's what they are. And that,
I don't like that term. Well, so the, I refuse to use
in
it.
In the industry, the amount of A's is just the amount of budget that's behind a project. That's right. That's really all. That's really all it is. So,
sure.
And so
the. Well, like, I think like another way to look at these are very IP-driven titles. Whether it's from an existing franchise or setting up future franchises, yeah. As we've seen with The Last of Us, as we've seen with Horizon Zero Dawn, I can only assume that we're going to get another Ghost of Something game. Yeah. You know, like it's either part of a franchise or setting up new intellectual property franchises.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what they're expected to do, right? And people, I was kind of on the board on the same train as everybody. Was like, oh, Sony's risk adverse. But then I kind of went back and thought, I was like, well, for the PS4, like we only have one entry in the Horizon series. People wanted a sequel. We're getting a sequel. God of War rebooted itself. So it's kind of, yeah, it's the same IP, but it's not the same game anymore. We're getting a new one.
That's fair.
You know, Ghost of Tsushima's new IP. Days Gone's a new IP, even though we're apparently not getting a sequel to that. You know, they have Dreams. They do have like a wide range of projects, but I think the problem is like they're not greenlighting a lot of like the smaller, more experimental indie kind of stuff they were doing before, like Journey and, you know, I'm not even trying to like Little Big Planet. I don't think we're really gonna get that anymore. Even though we just got a, you know, a Sackboy game from a third party publisher too, which was actually really
sure.
good. So I think, yeah, they've found their calling with the story cinematic games, and you know, like I said, they sell millions of copies. So I don't know. Like it's kind of what I've been thinking about. I was like, how risky do we want them to be? I don't really know what the answer to that is, because if they, you know, they did try Twisted Metal during the PS4 and it fell flat on its face. They tried Drawn to Death, that fell flat on its face.
To me, I feel like I'm hitting the same wall with the same hammer over and over again, which is you can have your quadruple A game bump 2 million out of your $80 million budget and make two smaller games. Like the big franchises are supposed to be there to support the experiments, right? We have our franchises, we know they're going to make money. Let's have some splinter teams make some bizarro ideas. One of them might hit or they might not. It doesn't matter. We still have our tent poles, right? And so all they're doing is doubling down on their tent poles. They are taking these big AAA games, which should hold up the little games, and saying, never mind, we're going to make them bigger. We're going to make our AAA games so big. They're putting all of their eggs in this basket, and it makes less eggs for the rest of us?
Well,
if my metaphor is true. I don't know where that meant. I think they make a bigger egg and put it in a bag. The metaphor fell apart.
So that's kind of where I'm, like, I don't really know what the answer is for Sony, because like do they need a Game Pass equivalent for more stuff like that? I tend to think so, because like look at the breadth of stuff that Microsoft is publishing with Game Pass, right? You got, even this year, you have Psychonauts 2 coming, you have Age of Empires 4 coming, you have Flight Simulator coming to Xbox finally. You got Halo coming. I mean, they have like something in almost every genre. Then they're publishing all those smaller indie titles for them and all that. Like Sony could do that same exact thing. And they have PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now to do it.
They can do that without the monthly service, though.
Can like, they? Because they are not built of money like Microsoft is. Sony is not. And both console manufacturers are losing money on the consoles that they're selling. So Sony has to make that money. Sony has to make that money somewhere. And if their exclusives, you know, their big cinematic story exclusives are going to sell 5-10 million plus copies, I mean, that's, you know, that's where their money's going to keep shoring in from.
Right.
So that's what I mean. Like for them to. I mean, and they're not getting cheaper either. Like, you know, those budgets are continuing to just balloon. And so that's why, you know, with like The Last of Us remake, I know, because I know you wanted to talk about that. Marty's.
But before we get into that, just pulled up something from the from Sony's corporate report from 2019. You know, obviously they have it.
Can't look at Sony as a whole though. You have to look at PlayStation Division, just like Microsoft looks at Xbox Division as one.
Oh, of course. But so like Sony as a whole, in 2018 profited $4.4 billion. In 2019, they had a net profit, or sorry, a net income of $5.4 billion, and many attribute their growth to the gaming sphere.
Yeah, sure,
so their biggest chunk is gaming sphere. So if you're telling me that a corporation with $5.4 billion doesn't have the money to experiment with indie games, I'm gonna call you a goddamn liar.
Well, I'm not saying they don't have the money. I'm saying,
I think that's what you said. I think that's literally what you
it
said.
It may have been.
So if you would like to recontextualize your argument, you can go for it now.
I don't remember my argument anymore. Well, the whole talking point is that they're risk averse to. They seem risk averse to those things. I don't know if they really are. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they really are or not. You also have to remember, you got to take $1 billion of that and put it in the corporate shareholders' pockets. So,
mm-hmm. Right, you're still left yeah. with a lot of billions.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Like I said, that's why I don't know what the answer is. I don't know why Sony's at. You know, like we talked about, they feel like they're going back to PS3 era. Like, well, our games are the best. We don't need to be. You know, weird or crazy with them. We know it sells. Let's just keep pushing that. Part of it just might be their messaging. Part of it might be that we just don't know what they're working on yet because of COVID and everything. And they've been so quiet. And they did have a problem in the past of announcing games way too early. Like, I don't know, The Last Guardian. And then not releasing them for 10 years. By the way, where's Agent? Yeah, like it's really hard to say if they really are risk adverse or not, because I, you know, you can look at an IP like Ghost of Tsushima and be like, well, is that a risk take? I don't know.
I would say, like, to be fair, like, obviously I'm being very harsh on Sony because they seem to be very greedy. But then again, they're a corporation, so of course they're greedy.
They're like the least greedy of the three publishers, though. I mean, let's be honest. They don't even have a games as a service title yet. That's just loot box. They've not released any exclusive that's like loot box centric game.
It's all the same bullshit.
That's a separate discussion.
So in any case, I've been harsh, but we can look at things like Horizon Zero Dawn that they were able to shove a ton of money into, or at least Guerrilla Games as a first party studio were able to shove a ton of money into and make something fun and, you know, different in quotes, because obviously it's still a third person.
The only thing different about it's, robotic
it's still a third
dinosaurs.
Person with stealth. Well, it's still a third person with stealth elements and upgradable paths, which is that whatever funny thing Yahtzee calls those. Same with Ghost of Tsushima, where it's like, it's still a third person with stealth options with upgradable paths. So it's not a full risk, but it is giving us a new playground to play with. So I will give them a little bit of credit, though they seem to be congealing. This is my word of the week, by the way. Just congealing. Well, this is all.
Yeah, they've got a formula that's appearing. I mean, Days Gone follow the same formula. Horizon follow the same formula. Spider-Man follows the same formula. Like, they're all kind of blending together.
Ghost of Tsushima follows the same formula, which works, which is great. God of War. I like to call it a Dad of Boy. Dad of Boy follows essentially the same formula, though with less stealth elements, and so like. They have their thing, but they just seem to be like finding the next intellectual property, and then it's all hands on deck. And then they feel like, oh, we'll push a little bit, but now all hands on deck. And so I worry that we're going to go the Disney route, which is constantly pumping intellectual property over new experiments. That being said, you know, Disney very recently, you know, had Raya and the Last Dragon, which is a new property. That's really neat. That's their new Disney princess. That's great. But you can sense the waves are coming as far as intellectual property over new development is concerned. And I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know if they're really risk adverse, and it just seems that way. Because I mean, again, even Returnal, we're getting that on April 30th, which is from Housemarque, and that's a they've almost described it as like a Souls roguelike third person shooter.
Whoa, too many. Yeah. That's too many things.
A recursive roguelike. There you go.
A recursive roguelike. Perfect. This all really comes to an anger point for me when we talk about the remake of The Last of Us. So the rumor is that they are doing a complete remake of The Last of Us, a game that you can currently play on PlayStation 5 right now. They're remaking it, Nick.
Yeah.
They're remaking a game that relatively looks pretty darn good. I've never ever complained about how good it looks. Yeah. Both games look very good. I don't like the games, but they look very good. A game that still looks very good that you can play on modern hardware, and they're remaking it.
Yeah. That was my take on it first. It's like, what the fuck? Like, why put this on somebody when they can mimic something new? And then
this is the question.
And then Marty's takeaway article kind of illuminated for me like the obviousest of it, right? So we have the Last of Us HBO series coming, like,
yeah,
they're gonna be introducing a whole new audience to that series, an entirely new audience. Why not have The Last of Us Part 1 and Part 2 together in one package on the PS5 when the HBO series comes out? It just makes business sense, as much as like it's like, why? Why do we need this? Because The Last of Us Part 2 makes a lot of gameplay enhancements compared to the original game. Like, if you go play 2 now and then go back to the original one, like it feels very outdated and clunky. So putting it over into that engine, giving the original game those gameplay enhancements, getting a whole new wave of people interested in that IP from the TV show, because according to the reports on this show, it's going to be a massive production for HBO, like Game of Thrones level production for them. I don't know. It's, you know, money talks. It's an easy sell.
I'm not arguing that it makes fiscal sense to do this. I'm arguing it doesn't make artistic sense to do this. And I get it. This is art. This is where art and business, kind of tell each other to fuck right off. Yeah. And I'm here for that. But like, they could. It still plays relatively,
the
game plays the game plays repetitive and boring, but like The Last of Us Part 2 didn't add anything groundbreaking besides all of the accessibility options, which is like, if that's what they're going for, it's like, we want to add all of those accessibility options to one. Oh, you might have a point there. I might be with you there, because I know that was a huge deal for a lot of gamers who have accessibility issues. So like, ooh, maybe that's a thing you could do. But I can't, like, you can just sell the game again. This game's right there. It's for $10. You don't have to put any extra money into it, and you're going to get a bunch of new sales.
Yeah,
I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
They're going to get even more sales by remaking it. But they
also have to spend more to remake it.
You know how people are with remakes. Look at the Mass Effect remaster that's coming out, which everybody's shitting on right now because like it actually looks worse.
Good. Fuck that. I don't know anything about Mass Effect.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of people that are going to buy that. The same. I mean, The Last of Us 1 sold a ton of copies. Why? It's just going to sell. That's what it is. It's going to sell. And if they pretty it up and actually make it look like a full remake, it's going to sell gangbusters. It's just going to happen.
I think. Well, and like this is a small rant I went on the Twitter, where I do think like remaking something isn't off the books. I think that remakes can serve a very valuable purpose. Yeah. And I just think that none of the boxes are ticked when we talk about The Last of Us. Like, if they wanted to remake The Last of Us because they had a really neat premise, but they didn't necessarily have the budget to execute it properly, oh yeah, sure, that's really nice. Like, you can reach back, Sony, into your catalog of IP and say, oh, this was a really neat game idea. We should remake this now that we know better. Whing! That's a great idea. There's a lot of great examples of things being remade and made better because of it. If you want to have a fun new spin on an old property, I know Final Fantasy VII Remake was divisive, but they tried something new with the remake. They made it a commentary on remakes. Oh, how fun! So, like, there are valid reasons why remakes can be good things, and this just seems like, yep, there's a show coming out, so we want something shinier for the people to look at, and we want a reason for all the people who already bought the game to buy it again.
Well, I mean,
which is cynical bullshit.
I talked about Ratchet and Clank at the very start of this episode. That's exactly what they did. The movie was coming, yeah. So they went and remade the game, added the gameplay enhancements from later games and into the remake of the original, and people loved it. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to do that.
How long between?
Maybe like
original.
Oh, well, it's more than a decade.
Okay.
So yeah, we're already talking 8 years since the original game came out, mind you.
Was the original Ratchet and Clank available to play on your new system?
No. Well, yeah, I know, but
that's where we get into our apples and oranges.
But we also want backwards compatibility now, so that you can't bring that point up.
I can bring both up. Yes, give us backwards compatibility, and then people will have less reasons to make remakes. It's a win-win for me, man.
Well,
it's a win-win for me.
The corporation says, give me more money, look at my shiny new product with slight gameplay enhancements and maybe some tie-ins of the TV show.
I don't want it.
I know our character are completely different between the game and the TV show since we're not using the same actors. I don't know. It's again, I don't really have any interest in it, but also it's going to sell.
it's the pure fact
of the matter. It'll probably do another 5 or 6 million copies.
Yeah, because everyone who loved it the first time will buy it again.
And all the new TV show
watchers. It's the same shit. And all the new TV show watchers who haven't played the first one will want to play this one because they play it. I get that. And also, like, just to make sure that my hypocrisy is on full display here, I have the exact same movie on multiple DVD sets because they give you bonus content on this one. And then they come out with new bonus content. Oh, I want that one too. I probably have 4 different versions of Clerks on DVD right now because that's my hypocrisy and I'm gonna own that. The question for me is time. What are they giving us new? Is there a reason for this? Like I said, we don't know about that yet. It seems like it's too close. It's a game that's already available on modern hardware. It still looks good. It still plays fine. If they want to, like, tout all of that accessibility stuff, ooh, you might got something there. So, by the way, Sony, that's a hot tip. Make that your foot walking through the door, and then everyone won't be so pissed at you.
The way I picture them selling it is you get part one and part two on the same disc, and they literally just call it The Last of Us again.
Nah. Yeah,
maybe. That's I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. It just makes sense to do it because it's like the only, what other games out there are part one and part two? I don't think there are any. Because I think
we'll have to Google.
I think Marty compared it kind of correctly. Like the Godfather, there's part one and part two, and it's like the gaming equivalent of that in structure.
Well, there's a 3 too.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
We don't talk about 3 much, but there is 3.
Yeah. So
I guess I don't know. Yeah, it's silly, it's weird. I'm going to be hitting my head against the wall forever. Give me Splinter Teams, give me more weird games. That's how we get. Well, that's how we got Portal. That's how we got Team Fortress 2. That's how we got Portal. Give me more weird shit to play with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Naughty Dog as a whole probably isn't working on this project. It's probably a smaller team they put together to work on it. The rumor is that I think it's Sony San Diego that's working on it, or a new studio in San Diego. It's one of the two. Sony San Diego, who makes MLB The Show, is working on some PlayStation IP. So,
I guess it's jobs. It's jobs for people in games. Great.
To throw it back at you, this remake might fund those Splinter projects you want. If it sells like
we
absolutely.
We keep saying that.
Yeah, I know.
We keep saying that, but they never make the Splinter projects. They just make more of the IP.
They're funding Returnal, which is a very different project for them.
It's like they make the IP, next they're going to make the iCup, and that's how it's going to go.
They fund the dreams. Nobody talks about their weird projects.
No, but... Well, Dreams was extra weird.
There's some really cool shit coming out of Dreams, though.
Sure, but I guess that's weird. You're right. Dreams is weird. Dreams is like bizarro, a store within a store. It's software that's also games. Sure, I'll give you Dreams. It's no iCup, but I think it's fine.
Well, they killed Sony Japan Studio for The Last of Us remake, so not really. That's just being hyperbole, but you know, one of their most creative studios is now gone.
Do I make a third try for Nick to fall for my iCup joke? We'll see.
No, mediocre.
I thought the first time maybe you didn't hear me, and then the second time I was like, you definitely heard me. You didn't react to it, but you didn't bite on it. I was just hoping to pull you in. That's fine. That's fair.
You didn't react to my D's nuts joke, so
that'd be a nice button. Be a nice button for the iCup. And now we don't have one. Now we don't have a button. Because you didn't fall for my sixth grade level joke. I'm trying to think of another. Basically, I'm just trying to think of another like really juvenile joke that we can end on, and I can't. It's been a while, so I can't remember.
That's when you stoop down to the yo mama jokes,
right? Like I'm trying to think of something that level where it's like, like do you know the Count D joke?
The Count D.
Count D's nuts. Got him. All right. Well, that was it. We got all the stuff in. But thanks for watching, everybody. Once again, I've been Jack Packard, a semi-professional video game enjoyer here for The Escapist.
Yo, Mama's so dumb, she's going to play The Last of Us remake when it comes out. Ha! My name's Nick Clinger, the editor-in-chief of The Escapist. Mediocre white man with poor jokes.
Like, really bad jokes. Like, you can't even get a Yo Mama joke right. We're gonna work on this, Nick. We're gonna have a little session. We'll write down some ideas. We'll brainstorm. Come up with like some five solid Yo Mama jokes for you. It'll be great. We'll get a whole team. We'll get a team together.
This is why you're being replaced with Paris and other people.
Very, very, very fair. Very fair. Well, bye forever, everyone.
I don't even want to say goodbye to you. You're mean to me today.
That's where the bits were. We go where the bits go, Nick.